Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm bringing back Tiffany Flayton. She is the owner of Rock Bottom Wellness, a nutrition consulting company online that specializes specifically in thyroid conditions. Now, Tiffany created her business coming out of the depths of a thyroid cancer situation. She's now nice and healed and working on herself and has dedicated her life to helping others with thyroid conditions. She now also has a new program called the Fatigue Fix Formula that is for fatigued and worn out women who want to live a full, vibrant, and energetic life and thrive, not just survive. Now, who doesn't want to thrive? So of course, that's why you're here. And we're gonna be talking today all about evening rituals and why those are so crucial for your health. So if you haven't heard my podcast with Tiffany before, you will enjoy this one and wanna listen to my previous one. So let's jump in and get chatting about evening rituals with Tiffany Flayton. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of the Health Figs. I have Tiffany Flayton back on. She is the founder of Rock Bottom Wellness, where she talks and teaches all about hypothyroidism and the connections to your healthy living and lifestyle factors. And today we're going to be talking about one of the big factors that I know that she is a fan of. And I caught it on one of her emails and I was like, Tiffany, we have to talk. And so today, folks, we're talking all about the evening wind down routines and how important this is to your overall health and overlooked. So Tiffany, how did you come to being like, I have to talk about this? Did you start working it into your life?
Yes. So first of all, thank you for having me back on. I'm a fan of your show. So I appreciate you allowing me to come back on to talk about something that I feel is so important. And it doesn't matter if you have a thyroid problem or not, this is something that needs to be addressed. So I always was working on all the other things, my nutrition, my thyroid medication, going to my doctor's appointments, you know, doing all those kinds of things to sort of maintain. But I didn't realize that my sleep was impacting so many other things. I just assumed that since I was in bed for maybe the right amount of hours, that that was good enough. So I just decided to dig into that a little bit deeper, and I actually bought myself one of those Oura rings that, you know, it's like the biohacking of your sleep. And I started to see huge patterns in what I was doing during the day and how that affected my sleep that night. And for the life of me, I'm having troubles with certain aspects of it, and I've been working on it for over a year. But we're not consistent with everything we do. Our life is not consistent. We have all kinds of stressors going on. I mean, this has been, you know, a crazy couple of years for most of us. And, you know, I realized that that really took a hit for me with getting that sleep down. So one of the things I started to notice, and you don't have to get the ring to, you know, the Oura ring to be able to identify this, because this is just how our body functions. So it applies to everybody. So I realized that I needed to find a way to calm down before I even put myself in my bed, you know, at night. Mm-hmm. And so I just decided to really focus on a few things, and I did like one thing at a time. And so that's what I kind of recommend for a lot of my people that I work with all the steps that we're changing to improve our health. Sometimes it gets too overwhelming and then we don't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we just stop. So the first thing that I decided to do, because I noticed in black and white on my little app for the ring, was if I ate past dinner time, whatever that might be for some, so I know some people eat later at night, but let's just say 2 to 3 hours before you actually go to bed. So if I ate within that window for whatever reason, my sleep was terrible. Okay. It was terrible. I would wake up the next day not feeling right. I didn't get into the REM sleep, the deep sleep. I didn't get the hours of sleep. Everything was affected. And then that just keeps snowballing into the next day and then the next day and the next day. And then you're less active sometimes because if you have poor sleep, then you have less energy the next day. So then you're not doing the other things that are beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the first thing I started to really focus on it. I wasn't eating that much at night anyway, but I was doing, if I felt like it, you know, sitting around watching a lot of Netflix over the last couple of years, I would, you know, have a nighttime snack, and I hadn't been really doing that. So it absolutely affected how I was sleeping. So I quit that. Now, a little caution to that, if you have really, really dysregulated blood sugar in the form of, you know, headaches and mood swings and, you know, maybe feeling nauseous if you're not eating after a couple hours or something like that, you might not be able to just stop eating after dinner. So you might need to transition into that. I don't know. That would be my recommendation on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think that's really wise. And what you eat too, obviously, it makes a huge difference, because a bowl of ice cream compared to maybe something a little bit lighter, like some berries, something of that nature, mm-hmm. easier on the gut to digest. And based on, you know, blood sugar issues, whatnot, maybe the berries have some nuts in there, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Like you had mentioned, yeah, sometimes you can see a little bit of struggle to break things down, but if the blood sugar is off, we want to be thinking about that. Mm-hmm. Now, I found that when I have poor sleep, a lot of times it will be like, I am so hungry the next day. I like end up like this ravenous little, like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm like a bunny rabbit wanting to munch all day. I'm just like, can I get next to a squirrel or something of that nature? Have you ever found that with yourself or any of your clients too, that if sleep is not on point, then hunger happens too?
In the next day or even that night, you know, sometimes, and I feel that for women, it tends to be, and I work mostly with women, I feel like it sort of falls in line with a time in their cycle. And I'm not sure if that's mm-hmm. ovulation. I've never been able to pinpoint that for myself or for people I've worked with. A lot of times people have no idea what's going on in their cycle. So it hasn't been able to be pinpointed, but I think that that's part of it. And it could go to, you know, blood sugar dysregulation. And maybe it was temporary because you're super stressed out or something, because we become less insulin sensitive the more stressed out we are. So that can be, you know, elevated. Our blood sugar goes up at night anyway to kind of keep us being able to sleep without eating for 8 hours or 9 hours or whatever it is. And so it helps us to kind of power through that night. And so if we're dysregulated before we go to bed and then it's elevated a little bit anyway, it's just maybe could fuel that need to snack the next day. I don't know, or feeling more hungry the next day. So I don't know. I think it's tied to that hormone regulation too.
Absolutely agree. I would absolutely agree. If someone, you know, just we'll touch on this quick, because I don't want to make mm-hmm. it all about blood sugar, of course,
right.
More about the wind down routine. What would be an ideal snack for someone to have that does struggle with some blood sugar issues, or someone that might wake up in the middle of the night hungry and that kind of basis? I just wanted to quick get your opinion on that. What's your recommendation if that's like an ideal snack?
Yeah. So I recommend that when people are starting to be able to shrink their eating window, and I'm not necessarily talking about fasting at this point, but to not have to eat after dinner time, if you're still needing something, I do recommend what you kind of mentioned earlier, like berries with maybe some heavy cream, if you can tolerate dairy, or maybe even some heavy, you know, making a coconut cream that's warm, it's soothing. You could even do with warm pears and cinnamon and some cream. The cinnamon might help with some blood sugar too, with cinnamon helping with that. So I do recommend things like that are smoother and more calming at night too. So back in my teaching days, and I cannot find the source on this at all, but it was always recommended, especially with little people in school, for the parents to give them nighttime, if they have a nighttime snack or a bedtime snack, it's not something that's crunchy and kind of making them more alert. It's like soothing and smooth and soft to help them kind of wind down, to get that brain slowing down a little bit. So that's the kind of stuff I have recommended to people. So for the calming part, and then for the blood sugar part. So that's kind of what I recommend.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating on the soothing part and the calming. I don't think a lot of people, I mean, I have not thought about that. And in Chinese mm-hmm. and, you know, in the realm in which I play in a lot of that, that would make sense in terms of mm-hmm. this population, which is one of the big things that, you know, in a wind down routine, we are wanting to reduce the stimulation to mm-hmm. the brain. So those tortilla chips, you know, Doritos, whatever crunchy stuff
Yep.
That we might have in the evening. Yeah, it might be too stimulating more than the actual content of
exactly
the nation.
So yeah, there's something about that.
That's cool. That's cool. I like that. That is something that is unique. So what about in terms of some other things that you connected by either looking at the Oura Ring or just working on your wind down routine that you can tell us about that helped out?
Yeah. So I just started to feel the need to stretch my body, you know, where I needed to really look into, because I'd wake up a little bit stiff and I don't have, you know, an old injury, anything like that. So I just started to notice that when I wasn't sleeping well, I don't know if it's from tossing and turning. I don't know if it was the way I was sleeping, but I would just wake up and feel kind of stiff. So I just decided I'm going to start doing some stretching, fascia rolling, things like that. Maybe some light yoga. I mean, maybe I wasn't doing like a whole yoga routine or anything like that, but oftentimes I would do this after I would shower. So my muscles were a little warmer and, you know, not everybody showers at night, and I don't all the time, but if I do, then I would for sure, you know, get the benefits of stretching shortly after getting out of the shower and just do, you know, like 5 or 10 minutes, just really some stretches where I felt my body was tight. So I always have tight hips. So I'd sit in pigeon for a while and just switch it on and off. And I might sit and I might only do just that for 5 or 10 minutes, sit on one side or the other for 5 minutes and just really stretch. And rolling out the fascia is, I know some people say that that's not super beneficial. I think it feels amazing. And when I stop doing it, I can feel the tension build right back up again. So I like to do the rolling on, I have always really tight calves. And so I do that and also the hips. So that has helped so that when I get into bed, I feel just calmer already because I'm just loose. I'm stretched out. It just kind of calms me down because the activity isn't, you know, some hardcore routine. It's not, again, stimulating. It's just more soothing.
Right. Right. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Those are some of my favorite things to do as well. A little bit of light yoga. I know a lot of people think yoga and they're like, oh my God, I got to put on like a yoga video or like, you know, I got to pull up YouTube and do something. No, like you know, downward dog here, pigeon pose there, you know, even forward fold, something super simple.
Yes.
Trick. Now, what do you use for your myofascial work? So working on releasing the fascia, do you use a foam roller? Do you use,
Yeah, I just have one of those foam rollers. It's not, I probably need to get the longer one. I feel like I can do more things on it, but yeah, it's just a foam, regular foam roller. And that seems to work wonders. I remember I was sitting there just feeling such a knot in the back of my calf muscle. And I laid down and just put my, you know, found where that knot was. And I just laid there and rolled it out. And that was something that would wake me up at night. And you just don't realize where you have all this tension, you know, just go on your day. Cause it might not affect you every single day. You might not notice it until, you know, it's a problem. And so I just remember laying there for like 5 or 10 minutes, rolling out that one little spot. And it was painful, but it got, you know, it got rid of it. And that thing is magic to me, I think. I mean, I feel like it works really, really well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love any type of manual bodywork and especially before bed. Cause you know, if we think about it kind of in the similar stimulation, like we were mentioning with the no crunchy stuff before bedtime. One of the other things is blood flow. Like when we sit and we don't do anything overnight, sleeping, our circulation isn't moving. And so what we're doing it by rolling stuff out, we're getting the circulation moving. Someone like priming the blood flow to move a little better overnight.
Yeah. That's what I don't know if that's what makes it more relaxing when you actually do go to bed, but that totally makes sense that there's better blood flow. And I just noticed then there wasn't as much, you know, muscle tension or pain, you know, the following days for sure. So it just helped me sleep and it helped me feel better the next day.
Huge. I think most people, whether they like to admit it or not, have tight calves. I mean, it's a common complaint that I hear from a lot of people waking up in the middle of the night. They're like, oh, doc, my calves, you know, they're killing me. And yeah, we could talk about magnesium supplementation and things of that nature. And one of my favorite ways of wind down routine is magnesium in the bathtub. But the sad part about it for me is that getting me to take a bath is
yes.
It's
Yeah. See, that would be ideal if someone could, because I'm with you. I do not enjoy baths at all. And so I think if people could do that in a nice warm bath with some Epsom salts and then stretch after that, that would be amazing. You know, that I think that would be really good for calming everything down before heading to bed. So for you bath people out there, that's a good thing.
That was an amazing one. In fact, I'm going to do like a 30-day challenge here of magnesium, but I think I'm going to do foot soaks just because of not being able to get the motivation to be in the tub. But it's a great thing. So what do you have a certain space? Because I always think about spaces, like a location to do my wind down in, since, you know, there might be folks in the living room, there might be folks in the kitchen, the bedroom, wherever it may be. So do you have a dedicated wind down space, or where do you tend to do your rolling? Where do you tend to relax?
I do. I have my closet. I do it in my closet. So I have a nice walk-in closet. So it's, I know not everybody has a big walk-in, that, you know, that just in smaller, like if you're living in an apartment and a city life, a lot of times there's not that kind of space. And so, that's where I do that. And then I'm alone usually, like my dog wanders in there all the time, but usually it's just me and maybe the dog, and I can just do my thing. And like I said, it only is taking, you know, 5 or 10 minutes.
That's the important part. It's only a few minutes. Cause I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, I have to like do another routine to add to the routine
Right.
Build it.
It's more of like switching your routine people can give up watching TV at night or the news at night and getting rid of, it's sort of like the crunchy, like we talk about the food, getting rid of the stimulating and crunchy things in the form of, you know, what you're taking in with the news or TV shows or whatever it might be that can kind of stimulate your brain too. So instead of doing that, do the stretching. And that might be a little transition for people to be able to get to that point. Because people just want to unwind at night and they just want to do their thing. And TV and Netflix and, you know, that kind of stuff is a big part of people's lives. And so that's what I would recommend. And I just have seen the difference in how I'm able to shut down and get better quality sleep because of it.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. While we think that a lot of these TV shows and even the news might be mindless, that we're still getting those inputs and infecting us. Now, do you wear any of the blue blocking glasses or have filters on any of your technology, or do you like dim the lights in that closet of yours, or what do you got going on for that? How do you work with all that?
Yeah. So I have, you know, on my phone, I have the setting that it shuts down the, I can't remember what it's called. If it's the blue blocking, but it's essentially that is what's happening at a certain time of night. My screen protector has the blue blocking shield on it. My computer screen, the same thing. You can get a screen protector that is the blue blocking light. And I do have the glasses, and I have kind of misplaced them. So I'm not sure where they are at this moment, but I have kept them by my bedside. So if the, you know, TV or phone or whatever is going, I can put those on and, you know, avoid that. And I have noticed a ton with my eyes not being so tired from working all day on the computer screen if I'm wearing those glasses and being religious about that. So that is helpful. And I think just, again, trying to replace that screen time after, you know, sundown, depending on the time of year, depending where you live, you know, if you can kind of shut down with the cycle of the sun, I think that really helps too, shutting that brain down. So instead, then at night after you're stretching, then look to getting into some reading. Maybe it's reading just for fun. Maybe it's reading for self-help. Maybe it's reading for, you know, just entertainment, whatever it might be. And then write, you know, meditation, journaling, that kind of thing. So just switching off between those kind of activities instead of, again, the TV, which keeps me more alert. It's stressful. I mean, I can watch mind numbing shows and have no, like, you don't need any brain power to understand what's happening. And it causes me, I can feel anxious just listening to the people fighting or whatever it might be. And that's really a bad way to go to bed. So,
yeah. No, I've had the same kind of thing happen to me where, like, horror films, forget it. I can't watch anything scary because then I'm going to be all amped up. But even like the, you know, police shows where you're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Oh, I don't want that person to die or whatever. You get like, I'm involved in this. Like,
Yes, you get completely involved in them somehow, take it on. So yeah, it's a good way to use that cycle of the day and do the things that are, you know, different than what you have been doing. Most people do watch TV at night, and, you know, especially in the darker winter months for people, you know, we're then exposed to that blue light till, you know, maybe 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and it messes with our circadian rhythms and keeps our melatonin from being produced to help us wind down. And so, yeah, it's a process, and you can do one thing at a time. You don't have to do all three of these things, you know, starting tonight. You can start with one thing, get it a part of your system or your routine, and then add as you go.
I think that's huge. One mm-hmm. thing at a time, because I know a lot of people try to like bite all of it off at once yeah. and be like, all right, we're going to like do this whole thing. Same thing goes with diets, whatever, yep. you know, the whole line in that case.
For sure.
Now you're in the thyroid realm, and I like to go a little more specific into that, because I know you do testing and I know you're looking at certain things, and I don't know if you've had enough time to kind of see with certain folks in this department. Have you seen that when someone starts to get a good evening routine down, and maybe you could speak to yourself if you've looked at any of your recent thyroid mm-hmm. levels, does it bring the antibodies down? Have you seen any thyroid antibodies coming down or thyroid levels kind of regulate, you know, regardless of whether someone's on meds or not? Have you seen any changes?
What I feel like I've seen, it's a little bit more indirect than that. I see on their micronutrient panels, they have usually, if you're someone who's a little more tired and wired and has poor sleep, there's usually low levels of B vitamins across the board, specifically pantothenate, which is B5. There's usually, mm-hmm. and someone who considers or calls themselves stressed and anxious, or I can see that in them, their B5 is usually deficient. Okay. Then their serine is also usually deficient, which totally ties in with the B5, with how, you know, what it does in the brain to help us calm and soothe and that kind of stuff. So once I feel like that stuff is corrected, and then of course, looking at diet, you know, looking at foods to help up those nutrients, and then deal with foods for that are anti-inflammatory, I think when the stress levels go down, either nutritionally and by doing lifestyle type of things, then I feel like the antibodies follow, because you're reducing the stress, you're reducing the inflammation. Yeah. So I feel like it's a little more indirect.
No, I would agree. I've seen some of that change too, when people really get hammered down on the stress management side mm-hmm. side of life. And folks, we're talking about antibodies in terms of the anti-TPO. So these are for folks who have Hashimoto's, so autoimmune thyroid conditions. Anti-TPOs and the thyroglobulin antibodies will come down with some stress management. But like Tiffany said, I also see like the nutrients and things, we got to dial that in a little bit too. Now you're using the Vibrant America micronutrient, or are you doing SpectraCell?
Mostly SpectraCell.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I have seen too with people with high levels of antibodies, and I'm talking 600 or more. I have seen there's a tie between a deficient level of asparagine, which is an amino acid. And studies have shown that, you know, getting that level back up to normal helps bring those antibodies down as well. There's a specific tie with asparagine and thyroid antibodies.
Ooh.
So that's kind of an obscure nutrient, you know, that we don't really think of. I mean, and so if people like asparagus, make sure you're, you know, including that in your diet. There's other things, of course, too. But yeah, so it's interesting, all the connections and ties and the things I've seen over and over now on repeat.
Mm-hmm. That is the beauty of doing the functional labs. You know, I love seeing that connection kind of open up. I did not know about asparagine. That's cool.
We always think of selenium. I think of zinc, you know, but we don't necessarily think of asparagine. I've never thought about asparagine in my life until looking at these labs with regard to thyroid antibodies.
No, that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So what else has asparagine? So, I mean, obviously folks, you know, are probably like, okay, I can eat some asparagus, or they're like, oh, asparagus is gross. But like, what else could we tell them to work on in this case?
Like, yeah, I think some nuts and seeds, I think, are the, you know, and that covers so many bases too with other nutrients. Mm-hmm. And again, I think leafy greens too, some leafy greens, again, covers a lot of the bases, things that are helpful to us with a thyroid problem. So that's kind of the basic things, but I don't know why asparagus, of course, always just stands out to me. And we talk about more of that specifically in consultation, of course. But yeah, off the top of my head, those are places to find it.
Wow. So cool. So cool. So I have an Oura ring too. You've talked about having one. They're fascinating to look at. And a lot of times I think folks are feeling like, do I absolutely need that? And like you said in the beginning, you're like, you don't need to spend the money on that to see things. What would be, if someone's like, do I really need an evening wind down routine? And if I really put one together, and like you said, starting with one thing at a time, what would you say like would be the number one thing for them to try? If they're going to try one thing, what would you have them do for that wind down?
I think out of the three things that I mentioned, I would think the blood sugar management by not eating at night, because I mean, that it causes your body to have to deal with the digestion. It causes could cause some blood sugar dysregulation if you already have that, you know, so especially if you already have that. And I think that that's the first thing to get in check for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree. I would agree. Phil, it seems like really, if we can get the digestive system to not have any more stressors, and then messing with melatonin, you know, and cortisol levels overnight, it does seem that that would be the way to go. Now, you did mention some consults with you and looking at the micronutrients and things of that nature. Would you tell folks a little bit more? Because I think we're going to have a lot of people that are in the thyroid, because I'm going to put this up as you know, thyroid, looking at thyroid, but also lifestyle stuff in general. But could you tell folks a little bit of kind of your programs, what you're doing, you're up to right now versus one-on-one versus group, and how the testing kind of comes into play and how they can utilize the testing to get more information about themselves?
Yeah. So I do work one-on-one with, you know, people who want to have that, you know, one-on-one attention. And so usually I do sort of a wellness testing package, which includes, you know, hormones and nutrition. And then a lot of times they have their lab results for their thyroid from their endocrinologist. So we go with that. With my group program, I have one that's specifically for thyroid. And I shouldn't say specifically, it's called the thyroid reset method. But honestly, whether you have a diagnosed thyroid condition or not, all the aspects in it that are covered in it support the body. Even if you're just stressed, if you're tired, you know, it's those things that we have to include: nutrition, lifestyle, and, you know, mindset and those types of things. Those are all included in that. And that's more like a group coaching, self-guided, but group coaching at the same time. So then when people want to get deeper into their nutrient status at the cellular level, then they can add that on if they get to that point. But a lot of times they can get enough relief by going through the program. And then they kind of do that later to sort of see what they're, you know, what more they can do to feel better and fill in the gaps. And so what that looks like when someone finds their cellular deficiencies of these nutrients, what we do is look at how we can replenish them with sometimes like therapeutic levels of supplementation, because it a lot of times our food supply or even what people are eating or willing to eat or have the time to eat or how stressed they are, whatever that might be, it's hard to replete those nutrients with just food sometimes. So again, I start where people are and then make recommendations accordingly. But the whole time underlying, we are adding in foods that will cover those bases of those deficiencies so that food can take over for the supplements. And so that looks like, depending on the deficiency and severity of symptoms, would be from 4 to 6 months. So after that, people are resolving symptoms, they're feeling much better, and then they can sort of carry on with a healthier diet. And it's not like a diet plan and you do this for 6 months and then just do your thing again. It's like you're learning, you're completely learning about how your body responds to these things. And then understanding, once you, for example, have resolved your anxiety or you have been able to sleep better, okay, how am I eating? And tying that, connecting all the dots between what you're doing, how you fixed it nutritionally, and then how your symptoms are now. And so that it's a process that people go through, but it doesn't have to take long. I mean, I have people who will report back in 2 to 3 weeks after starting with just like the basics of getting going and, you know, starting working on those things that we're, you know, depending on the person, of course, depending on those recommendations, and they're feeling better in 2 to 3 weeks when they've maybe felt terrible with fatigue or headaches or whatever it may be for 10 years.
Yeah.
And that was my story, actually. So
that's awesome. No, I find that to be quite true. And I'm glad that you mentioned that you don't have to have a diagnosed thyroid condition, because here's the thing. Most folks with fatigue, most folks who are struggling, even with sleep, just energy, little weight gain, things of that nature, likely your thyroid is off and right. your labs might not show that. And your doc might be like, nope, thyroid's totally fine. And in some cases, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, like people can go years and years and nothing gets changed. But in this case, you know, we all have our own intuition. Mm-hmm. We know, like, inherently, like, dude, doc, something's wrong with my thyroid. I swear. If that's like the message coming up for you, Tiffany's your girl.
Close. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because it's so true that we can get tested. I mean, I've had people, and at times I felt it to be a little insensitive since I was going through thyroid cancer and had it removed and struggling like crazy for years and years to get that all figured out after the thyroid removal, hoping and praying that I wish I had a thyroid diagnosis. I wish so badly they say I have X thyroid condition, whatever that might be. And I get it, because I mean, I was there too, but what that means is that they're saying that they have all these symptoms. They do a functional or a conventional lab test, and the range is so big, and they're like, oh, you're falling into the normal range, or you're just a little bit out of the normal range. You're fine. Don't worry about it. And they still feel terrible, and they don't get the help. So it's really important to know that there is a you know, like a conventional range. There's a normal, quote unquote, normal range. And then there is an optimal and functional range. Two very different things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this, folks, is why I bring Tiffany on, because I love to have people who are experts in this realm specifically, because there are so many people that come to me and they're like dying for a diagnosis of something. With
yes.
They're like, doc, just please give me something here. And it's like, sometimes we got to dive deeper because your conventional labs don't show things. And sometimes even the optimal and functional labs will be on, you know, just on the borderline, but this mm-hmm. still gives us key information and kind of, you know, I guess what I'm basically trying to say is like, there's key information, and how we really manage stress mm-hmm. really does play into the thyroid as well. And so sometimes it might be a little bit of thyroid and adrenal. So the stress factor too, I'm sure you see that all the time.
All the time. And the other factor, just looking at their nutrients and looking at key nutrients like selenium and zinc for thyroid, but there's also vitamin A that's an issue with regard to thyroid function. And so looking at all those pieces of the puzzle really helps to put a plan together for people so that they can, you know, start to resolve symptoms, even if they fall into the, again, air quotes, normal range. So maybe we'll get them back down into a functional or optimal range just by dealing with nutrients, for example. You know, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to take medication or get on more medication or whatever. So there's just a lot of options before you actually have a completely dysfunctional thyroid.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So folks, hopefully if you are wondering or in that realm, we've given you some hope that there are places to look and there's help for you. And Tiffany's definitely there to help you out as well. Her website, Rock Bottom Wellness, but also you've got she's great emails, folks. By the way, I love being on her email list because the tips are just fabulous. So if you haven't
gone
over to her website, you need to go over there. So Tiffany, give us the breakdown on your website, when, you know, kind of what folks can do to just get in contact with you, sign up for your news, the email, the emails, mm-hmm. what else can they do to interact with you and your podcast too?
Yeah. Go to rockbottomwellness.com and you can see everything there. You can, you know, ask to download a freebie. It's for thyroid fatigue typically, but not, again, you don't have to be diagnosed with a thyroid issue to be dealing with fatigue. We all know that. So that's a way to get on my email newsletter, like Janine was saying. And then also my podcast. Yes. So because I changed the name of it, it's called Nutrition for Thyroid Health. That's the podcast. It used to be called Rock Bottom Wellness with Tiffany Blayton. So now it's Nutrition for Thyroid Health. So it's very specific to, again, all things thyroid, but we cover so many things in there that don't maybe seem thyroid related on the surface. So, so come and visit that web, that podcast too.
All right. There you have it, folks. You've got all the information on Tiffany and where to find her and how to get some more insight as to what to do for your wind down routines, but also what to do in the case of, should you suspect that there's something up with your thyroid and you're wanting to turn things around and everybody's telling you you're normal.
Yeah.
She's your girl.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you on again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Health Junkies, after listening to that podcast with Tiffany, maybe you're interested in working with her. Well, you can schedule a 30-minute free call with her to see if you guys are a good fit. Head over to thyroidbreakthrough.as.me/, and you can schedule that up and see if you guys are a good fit. Now, if you're wanting to head straight for jumping into working with Tiffany, heads up, since we recorded the podcast, she changed the name of her formula. It used to be called the Thyroid Reset Method, and now it's the Fatigue Fix Formula. So if you want to jump in and just get started working with Tiffany, you can get a discount by entering HealthFix500 for $500 off the program. That's HealthFix500 all smashed together, and you can get that $500 off just for listening into this podcast. And keep in mind, her program is called Fatigue Fix Formula, and she mentioned, unfortunately, Thyroid Reset Method on the podcast before that this. So here it is, giving you the code now so you can jump right in. All right. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey, Health Junkies, I've been getting a lot of feedback from the audience, and basically it seems that there are a lot of folks struggling with getting their hormones in check, losing just like that extra 20 pounds that just won't go away, and getting that fit body that you always desired. And so I decided, well, maybe I should create a course on this to help folks out. Because, you know, one of the biggest factors out there that I just cannot stand about the fitness industry is that they're telling folks to just push harder, do more cardio, cut your calories, starve yourself, do keto, do that. And honestly, all that stuff, I really think, is keeping that extra weight on us, and especially as we get older, and it's keeping us from getting gains in the gym and keeping us from getting the results we want. So I listened and I created a course. It is called the Fit Physique Blueprint, and you can hear all about it. You can jump on a call with me and let's like chat and talk all about it. It's chatwithjanine.com. So chat with, and then JANNINE.com. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's see if you're a fit for my program and how I can help you out. Alrighty. Check it out. Hope to talk to you soon.